with an eye toward Russia. Because Russia may never be in the Kazakh or the Turkic States alliance, but they'll play a major role in supplying goods for those routes to eventual customers.
Right. So, I mean, that's huge. It's like, I know we've mentioned it about, but this is literal risk. This is literally the game Risk. And all the countries are making friends with their neighbors and saying, let's put ourselves in the best position possible. And yeah, Turkey is opened through Kazakhstan up into Russia. You're right. Absolutely. So there's that. You know, we talked about last week, Turkey releasing that 6,000 kilometer ICBM and it coming out of nowhere. Yes. And no one even having any idea about it. So this is the Belgian defense minister in an interview. And they're asking him about, you know, these, it's a Turkish, it's TRT World that's interviewing, which is a Turkish news outfit. I don't know if I knew that. Did you know that?
Not, maybe I was supposed to, but I don't think I did explicitly.
So they have a long conversation about the rise of right-wing politics, and the Belgian guy, who must be one of the most common-sense Europeans around, is talking about, well, if you have a problem with mass migration, of course you're going to have a rise in right-wing politics. And it's kind of funny how he thought. But the conversation turns to Turkey, and the interviewer pretty much asks him about his thoughts on Turkey and Europe and Turkey's common defense. So I'll play this clip here.
Speaking of migration management and the role Turkey has played to help Europe, would you say that greater integration of Turkey and perhaps Turkey becoming a full member of the European Union is going to be a positive contribution?
European Union not working together very closely with Turkey, it would be very stupid. It would not be a wise thing to do. The smart thing to do is to work together. We need Turkey. Turkey also needs the European Union. We're neighbors for so many years. We're NATO allies. And we're living in a very dangerous, difficult, complex, unstable world. And I'm not jealous at your neighbors. I really prefer my neighbors. They're really calm people, all my neighbors. So you're living in a very difficult context. So we need you. You have a lot of capabilities. You have a very strong industry. Of course, inflation keeps on being a problem, but it's going down. So hopefully you can fix this. But of course, we need to work together. And does that mean that at the end, Turkey will be a full member of the European Union? I don't know. Sorry. Is that your agenda? Do you want that? Is that the agenda of the European Union? I don't know.
There you go. That's dumb. And then continuation of more defense.
Finally, you've been talking about the Turkish defense industry. What sort of defense collaboration are we talking about when it comes to Turkey and Belgium? What's the scope? What could the two countries achieve together?
So we signed contracts in Istanbul. We are signing contracts in Ankara tonight. So there's really concrete steps forward. We're already Belgian companies are integrated in production of Turkish systems. Also, Turkish system and industry is also in our capabilities. So we're working together, but we need to expand this. And that's why we have this economic mission for contacts and contracts. So today there's a Turkish-Belgian Defense Industry Day, first time in history. And we have this for networking, having good contacts. And tonight we sign contracts because, of course, you can talk, but you have to finalize. So we have these contracts also.
Oh, he missed
also
an opportunity.
I hope that in Ankara.
What did he miss?
You can talk.
But you need to walk.
But eventually
walk.
You have to walk.
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 Yeah. So, you know, the world is a risk board theory that we've been playing out is just absolutely kicking butt right now.
So you would call him, and I'm sorry, I was reading something, but you would say he is a Turkish skeptic.
Yeah, you could call him a Turkish skeptic. He's worried about the Islamification of Turkey. So part of the interview earlier was like Europe's Islamophobia. And the Belgian guy's like, yeah, you know, a lot of immigrants are great, but there's also problems with them too. And we can't sugarcoat that. The guy, you know, very diplomatic, but very frank speaker, which is refreshing to hear in politics. But of course, he's Belgium's defense minister, which is, I have to imagine, kind of like, I mean, what is Belgium defending against? People trying to steal their waffles? You know what I mean?
Maybe. You don't know.
I mean, who's attacking Belgium? England? The Netherlands? France? Lego. Germany? They're the most cushioned, next to Luxembourg, they're the most cushioned country in the European Union.
Yeah, Ego. Ego is attacking Belgium.
Yeah, the cheap Chinese waffle substitutes. What was that waffle that the Chinese were celebrating? Wasn't it like a beef pancake? Which I think
it was something like that.
Yeah, I think that was like a Chinese burger or whatever, but they called it a beef pancake. Anyway, let's see. Do I have anything else around the globe here? Oh yeah. England. So England had a Tommy Robinson rally, far right rally, you know how it is. Here's your news' coverage of it.
A huge police presence was deployed in London on Saturday in one of its largest operations in recent years to handle two opposing rallies as well as the FA Cup final. Tens of thousands attended a rally organized by far-right activist Tommy Robinson, while another several thousand protesters held an annual demonstration to commemorate the Nakba, which marks the expulsion of some 700,000 Palestinians during the creation of Israel in 1948. Armored vehicles, police horses, dogs, drones, and helicopters were deployed along with at least 4,000 officers as the Metropolitan Police aimed to avoid clashes. As of early afternoon, police said several people were arrested without specifying from which protest. Meanwhile, police warned the FA Cup final between Chelsea and Manchester City, which kicked off on Saturday, could strain the policing operation. They voiced fears about football hooligan groups which have previously supported Robinson showing up. The marches took place at a particularly radicalized time in British politics, with parties on the far right and left advancing across the UK in elections last week.
That's right. The far right is not going out without a couple of punches in Europe. They seem to be in vain because, you know, when they get too popular, they just get voted down. I don't know if I think it happened this past week, but the Alberta separatist movement. Barred.
Mm-hmm.
Can no longer go through.
Barred by a judge.
Yep. Oh, too bad. You can't do it. Even though they got the signatures. Can't even vote on it now. More on this story. Some MEP and far-right influencers were barred from the UK rally for reasons they would not be good for anyone, apparently, according to two-tier gear.
Hello, you're watching Euronews' fact-checking show, The Cube. Tens of thousands of people took to the streets of central London on the 16th of May to attend a march organised by British far-right activist Tommy Robinson. At least 11 individuals, including multiple figures linked to Europe's far-right, as well as an MEP, were barred from entering the UK. British Prime Minister Keir Starmer said the ban aimed to prevent far-right agitators from entering, describing their presence as not conducive to the public good. Many of those banned, such as 26-year-old Catalan activist Ada Luck, are staunch supporters of re-migration. This idea calls for the mass forced removal of immigrants from Europe, an idea described by rights groups as a white supremacist policy. Others, such as Flemish MP Philip de Winter, have been embroiled in past controversies. For instance, in 2015, he stated that the word racist was no longer an insult, but a title of honour. On social media, the British government's decision has been framed as a political move by the UK's left-wing government to clamp down on freedom of speech. But the reality is more nuanced. Now, British law stipulates that freedom of expression is protected under the 1998 Human Rights Act, but this also explicitly allows the government to limit free speech to prevent crime or for national security matters. Past Conservative governments have predominantly used visa bans to bar extremists and hate preachers from entry.
There you go. Oh, you're a radical jihadist? Come on in. Oh, you oppose radical jihadis? You're barred.
To available research.
National security interests.
Targeting Islamist figures who are accused of supporting terrorism or sectarian violence. But in 2013, the UK's then Home Secretary, Theresa May, banned two US bloggers from entering the country, citing their stance against Islam. The UK has legal provisions in place to criminalise hate speech. This includes using threatening words or behaviour, or distributing material which intends to stir up religious hatred.
Okay, so a lot of the same.
Yep, a lot of the same. And that's what I have. That's me tonight.
Okay. I have one more three-clip segment, and I think it's a good one to end on. Now, we're going to hear from some high-level experts conveyed through Jesse Waters in this case.
Oh, boy.
But these, we're going to learn about aliens.
He took a 38 caliber gun. I don't go to business meetings with 38 caliber guns. Sorry. What clip do you want to start with? Disclosure?
Disclosure.
Perfect.
We are not alone. The Pentagon released the UFO files a few weeks back, and we just found out over a billion people have visited the site. A billion. It's got to be a record. The War Department says more files will be released soon. UFO experts and top researchers have been investigating aliens for years. Their sources say dozens of crashed UFOs have been recovered, and what they found inside? Shocking.
And do people think that there's one type of non-human intelligence that's visiting the Earth, or is there many, many types?
People who have been involved in recoveries have said
there are at least four separate types. Now, I have not had direct access to that, but I believe the people who I talk to.
Four different types of life.
Four different types of life.
Four different species of aliens. Another scientist called them Greys, Nordics, Insectoids, and Reptilians. All of them have two arms and two legs, just like us. Experts speculate the reptilians are scaly with long tails, like a lizard. Ooh. Insectoids look like a praying mantis. The Greys look like your classic movie alien, and the Nordics look like a regular Swedish guy, but 7 feet tall. We haven't seen the evidence, but Pete Hegseth says more evidence is coming.
Experts speculate.
They speculate. Yeah, the Greys.
Reptilians have scales. Insectoids work for the federal government.
I was going to say, reptilians look a lot like Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, this is what's on Fox News. This is what Jesse Waters is doing. You know,
honestly,
we're here talking about trade routes.
Yeah, that's true. It's actually kind of freaking hilarious. What do you think about it?
Let's continue. What does the president know?
Do you think the president's a believer? This weekend, he posted an image of himself walking down the tarmac with an alien.
Yeah. I saw that. Yeah. Look, I think he's learned the reality of the situation, that we're not alone in the universe. And, you know, I think this disclosure process is happening because he's put it in motion. I know I just heard today from friends on the House Committee to Declassify Federal Secrets that there will be another 40 or so UAP videos declassified in the next 30 days. On top of that, key members of the cabinet are aggressively trying to find the most meaningful evidence within the federal agencies and branches of the military, so they can then decide what of that evidence can safely be declassified. And there's, you know, this is going to be a rolling process. It's going to be a rolling disclosure process.
Oh, wow. just in time when AI is getting really, really good at video generation.
Exactly. All right. And then...